Good morning again, everyone. Good to see you here. It's good to be back. Sue and I and the kids were gone the last couple weeks down in Arizona, and it's fun to be back. Good to be here with you all. We are in the middle of a series. We started a couple of weeks ago, and it's on core values. And what we're doing here is we're talking about this idea of core values, and a core value is kind of what's important to us as a church. There are, you know, all of us have core values. Most of the time we don't list them out, but here at the church we've kind of listed out what our core values are. And that's really what it means, is what is it that's important to us? What are the things that, are a big deal? And so we started this here a couple weeks ago, and Mark talked the first week about the Great Commission, how one of the core values, one of the things that's important to us here at Cedar Creek, is we want to be involved in the gospel, helping people to understand that Christ came, paid the penalty for their sins, we can come back into a right relationship with God. We want to be active in sharing that. That's a core value. Last week, Justin talked about this idea of small groups, and really the core value there is the value of kind of living life together, how, you know, church is more than just what happens on a Sunday morning. We see each other's lives. We see each other's families. We live life together, and in a big way, that's played out here at Cedar Creek. Not the only way, but in a big way, in that in those life groups that we have where we get together. So that's what we've been talking about. Now, a core value, it's interesting or worth noting, a core value is a little different than perhaps the statement of faith. If you go on our website, you can see in the little About Us section, you can click on that, and you'll see the statement of faith, and then you'll see a different place for core values. And they're separated. They're obviously linked, but statement of faith is more kind of theologically, what do we believe about what the Bible says regarding certain issues, like who is God, who is Jesus, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, things along those lines. Those are statements of faith where here's what we understand theologically the Bible says about these kind of big picture things. Core values are tied to that, but it's more practical. It's more, okay, this is what we believe God says in the Bible. Now, how do we play it out on an everyday basis here at Cedar Creek? And every church is different. If you looked at our statement of faith, Cedar Creek's statement of faith, compared to the statement of faith to lots and lots and lots and lots of churches here in town, they'd be very, very similar. Some of them would probably be identical, because we, you know, understand the Bible in a big way, the same as so many good churches here in town. But every church kind of does things a little bit differently, and the feel and the flavor is a little bit different. That's more the core value kind of thing. What is it that is important enough, and it kind of comes out in what we do? Does that make sense? So the statement of faith is, what do we believe God says about these big picture things? But then our core values are, well, how do we play that out? What's that look like here at Cedar Creek? So we've been walking through that starting last week, and we have, I forget if it's 7 or 8. How many core values do we have? I forget. Go look on the website and find out. We'll know when we get done with the series how many we have. But it's good to know what they are. We just thought, you know, it's a really good thing for us to talk through these, because it's good for us to just to remind ourselves. It's good to walk through these things on somewhat, you know, of a regular basis, for a couple reasons. Number one, so that we can remind ourselves, hey, this really is important to us. This really is a big deal, and we really do want to be doing this well. And so we can look at it and say, well, how are we doing in this thing? Is this really something that's happening? The other reason it's good to kind of look at these core values is to revisit them every once in a while. And I think 2 weeks ago, if you were here, When Mark and I, Mark's the other pastor, when we decided this is something we're going to do, we pulled them out and we thought, you know, it's been a long, long time since we looked at these and really thought, okay, are these the core values that still define us? And so it's good to revisit them a little bit. So that's what we're doing. We've been spending a couple weeks and we're going to walk through this. Now, just a programming note, we're going to take a break in the core values series starting next week, and we're going to do 3 weeks on Easter. So starting next week, we're going to do 3 weeks in a row leading up to Easter. Then after Easter, we're going to pick up this core value series again there at the end of April, okay? So today, we're on our third core value, and this core value is character development. This idea that that God wants us to grow or to develop our character. And I want to read the core value here. It's basically this. We stress that each individual grow to their full maturity in Christ and develop strong personal character. So that's what we're going to talk about today, this core value, how each one of us here at Cedar Creek, our desire is to have this be a place where this happens, where you and I grow to our full maturity in Christ, and we develop, we grow in and kind of build in each of us this growing character, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the core value. Now, we need to define our terms a little bit. So how would you define, I'm just curious, how would you define character? What does that mean when I say that word, character? What comes to mind? Does anyone have a definition? Yeah.
How you carry yourself day to day.
How you carry yourself day to day, yeah. Other thoughts?
Ethical.
If you're ethical, yeah.
Doing the right thing when nobody's watching.
Doing the right thing when nobody's watching, yeah. Yeah, it's here's how I define it, and this is absolutely my definition, is this. It's what you do and why you do it. That's a big thing. What you do, your actions and your words, primarily, that's what it's talking about. How I conduct myself, all the things that you guys said. How do I interact with the people around me? Not what I do, meaning my job or something like that, but how do I interact with the people around me? What are my actions and my words as I kind of go through life, but not just what I do, but why I do it. And I think that that's important. Character, there's this aspect, I think, not just of what happens on the outside, but the motivation. So it's our actions and our words and our motivation, okay? So you know, Matt read those passages. We're going to get into them here a little bit. But one of the things, you know, a character quality, there's all kinds of them listed, and I'll read it here in just a little bit. But in Galatians, there's, I think, nine of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all kind of character qualities. And what they are, take one of them, take kindness, for example. Kindness is, well, it's how I speak and act towards somebody else, right? It's are my words gentle and kind, or are they harsh and demeaning? Are my actions helpful and beneficial and gentle, or are they kind of self-serving or something like that? So kindness, if you look at that character quality, it's what I do and say, but it's also why I'm doing it and saying it. Because you can speak kindly to someone because you want their money. You know, what you do is important. But character, the way we're defining it, is not just what you do and say, it's why you do and say it. What's the motivation behind it? And it's one of those things that it's in some ways it defies complete definition, and yet I think we all know it when we see it. For example, I'm going to use my son as an example. We were at the Grand Canyon here last week, we went to the Grand Canyon of our whole family, and it was really fun, and none of us had ever been there before. And so we, first day we got there, it was snowing, just almost blizzard like so we stayed there that night, and the next day it was nice. It was, you know, 50 degrees and sunny, so we decided to hike down one of the trails. There's two trails that go down there. We decided to hike down as far as we could in the Grand Canyon. So off we go, and it's my wife and I and our three kids, Becca, Katie, and Sam, and they're 25, 22, and 18, and Sue and I are 56 and 29, is Sue. I lied to you, but it was kind. So we're going down, and I'm walking down the trail, and somehow Sam got behind me, and I hear him coming. Sam's coming behind me. And I'm going at a 56-year-old pace, and he's going at an 18-year-old pace. And I hear, "Get out of the way." And then I heard this. He said, "Oops, sorry." And I thought, see what happened there? His words were not really kind, but his motivation, his heart wasn't. So he stopped. He saw, "Oh, wait a minute, I want my dad to move. Okay. And I can do that in one of two ways. I can be kind or I can be harsh." And his words at first were, "Get out of the way." But then I saw the heart behind it. He stopped and said, "Oh, sorry." But then he said, "Move." So we're still working on that front end part a little bit. But you see that? That's kind of what character is. It's what's inside of us, what motivates me, and then how do I respond to that motivation? Does that make sense? And again, it looks different in all kinds of different situations. Kindness, for example, has thousands and thousands of different ways that it plays itself out. And how you might do it might be different than the next person. So character, in some ways, defies an exact definition. But I think we all know it when we see it. We all understand it when we see it. But as a general rule, what we're talking about when we talk about character is my actions and my motivations behind them. What I do, how I interact, how I speak, what I do in this world, and why I do it, okay? So, what we're saying then is that here at Cedar Creek, we have a core value of growing in that. So, what I want to do here for a little while is just kind of take a look at those two passages that Matt read earlier, because they tell us some things about character development, that they help us understand a little bit what that looks like or why, or it gives us some pictures, I think, about what that looks like. All right, so I'm going to read again here Galatians 5. And we're going to walk through this here a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 16. Again, these are the passages that Matt read earlier, and I'm just going to kind of walk through them a little bit, this one and the next one, to look and see what does God tell us about character. It starts with this. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So we see right off the bat that there are here two different options, if you will, for character. And Paul, the guy that wrote this, is saying, look, you're going to do one thing or the other, or you have two paths for your character. You can do this one, or you can do this one. And there's a tension there between them. It's interesting that they're not neutral, okay? He says, hey, live by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And they're at odds with each other. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. So we see right off the bat that when we're talking about character here, when we're talking about how we act and why we do it, There's two different ways you can go, and they're not neutral. They're not just, well, either one's fine, whatever, you know, like blue or green. It's not that. It's, well, here's one way, and here's this way, and there's a tension. There's a conflict. There's a pull here. So right off the bat, when we look at character and when we try to apply it to ourselves, we see that I'm being pulled in two different directions here. I'm getting pulled to kind of act this way, and I'm getting pulled to kind of act that way. My heart, my motivations are being pulled this way at the same time that they're being pulled that way. So there's this tension here between the two. And it's interesting, we as people, because we're created in God's image, we have the capacity for either. And I think we're the only living thing, in my understanding, we're the only living thing that God created that has that capacity for choosing what our character is going to be. Animals don't have that. They just react by instinct. They're hungry, so they go get something to eat. They move by instinct. We move by something that's inside of us, and we choose, but there's this tension between it. So God has put us, you and I are in a world where our character could go two different directions. And that's what Paul is saying here. Look, you're either going to go that way or that way, and there's this fight between the two of them. And they're not neutral, because then Paul spends the rest of this little passage talking about the difference between them. Here's one of those character paths you can go by, and here's the other one. And one is good and one is bad, like so many things in the world. So much of the Bible really is easy to understand. There's good and there's bad. Now, I understand that there are complexities and there's nuances, and we can learn so many things about the Bible. But the core things at the beginning, at the basic level, much of this is not that hard to understand. There's a good choice and there are bad choices. And he goes on to explain both here, that there are these examples of both good and bad. And it says here, starting with verse 19, says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a very clear definition. Okay, you have these two choices, what your character is going to look like, and here's one of them, and it is not good. It is not good. You don't read that list and think, okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll choose that one. Or somehow that's a good thing. We don't look at that list and think, I can get behind that. Do we? No. No, we don't. Nobody does. Says, you know what? I hope my kids grew up to be, you know, immoral, hating, filled with jealousy and fits of rage. I mean, we just don't do that. And this is unequivocal here. God is saying something very, very clear here. Look, you're going to kind of go one way or another. There's this tension on how you're going to live your life and why you're going to live that way. And here's one of the options, and it is not good. But then, starting in verse 22, he says, but here's the other one. He defines that one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So right at the outset, when we're talking about character, what you do and why you do it, God says you're going to go. You've got two paths in front of you. And as humans, we have the opportunity to go one way or the other. And there's a tension between us. And so we live our life as people and as Christians, working through, okay, which one am I doing here? How am I moving this way? Am I responding to the tension, the pull that way, or am I responding to the tension and the pull this way? Okay? So right away here in Galatians, God kind of sets the stage for what your character looks like. But then the second passage that Matt read, I want to read that and kind of walk through it a little bit, get some thoughts there about that. What does this tell us about character? And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, and it starts with verse 3. And the first thing I see here is this. Well, I'm going to read it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may partake in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Now, there's a lot in there. I'm going to read that again. But in basic terms, What Paul is saying there is this, or Peter is saying there is this: you have a chance, you and I have a chance to be different. In other words, we can choose. In Galatians there, we saw, okay, there's this tension, you have two ways that you can go. Here, what Peter is saying is, okay, as you feel that tension, understand something. You and I have the ability to choose which way we go. It's not just dealt for us. It's not just inevitable that we're going to go one way or another. You can choose. That's what he says here. He ends that passage, you know, you may partake in the divine nature, that's that good character, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, that's that bad character. We've got a choice here. We have a chance to be something that we want to be. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We need to talk about that a little bit because I think it's important that so much in this world didn't always used to be this way, but in the world we live in now, we hear a lot, you can be anything you want to be, right? I mean, we talk about that and how, you know what? You're only limited by yourself. You can become anything that you want to become. I understand the sentiment behind that, but it's just not true. I cannot become, no matter how much I want to, I will never be a ballerina or an NBA player. It's just not in me. I do not have the physical stature to do either of those things. I don't have the grace and the beauty and the body. I'm all legs and I'm not going to be a ballerina. I am not going to be an NBA player, no matter how much I want to be. It is not going to happen. I don't have the physical tools for it. I cannot play, you know, linebacker for the Packers. I cannot do it. And there's all kinds of things in the world that you and I might want to do, we might aspire to, but it is not possible. It is just not in you. And no matter how much we want to say, well, the human spirit is strong and we can become whatever we want to become, it's just not true, guys. You cannot do anything you want to do because you have limitations. I have limitations, physical, intellectual, emotional limitations that just put a lid on some of the things that we might want to do. And no matter how much I want to be a great ballerina, it is just not going to happen. But you can be a great man or woman. You have everything you need to be a great man, a great woman. I cannot be a great basketball player. I can be a great man. You cannot be a great fill in the blank, but you can be a great man or a great woman. And that's what this says. And that thrills my soul. You and I really can be, we can be men and women of character that people see, that people recognize. It's within us. That's what God says here. His divine power has what? Given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's almost as if, you know, inside of you are all of the raw materials, all of the things that you need to become a man or woman that displays what? All those fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You have what's inside of you, everything that's needed to avoid that other stuff: hatred, discord, fits of rage, selfish ambition, jealousy, envy. You can avoid all of that stuff, and you can embrace all of this other stuff. You can be a great man or a great woman because God has given you what you need. That's what he's saying. I love this verse. I think about it all the time. God's very great and precious promises. He's given us the ability to be great. And I like that. I like to think about that. But here's the second thing I see in this passage. It's not a given. It takes work on your part or my part. You have inside of you what you need. God has given you the ability to be a man or woman of character, but it's not a given. He says here, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And so we see that that's a very, very, very similar list to what we read there in Galatians. Those are all character qualities: love, brotherly kindness, patience, perseverance, godliness, self-control. Those are character qualities, what you do and how you do it. But he says to us here, what? Make every effort. In other words, okay, I have the ability to become a man or woman of character. It's all there, but I have to work at it. I have to make an effort. It's not going to just happen. Most of us want to be great, but it's harder to become great. You know what I mean? It would be easy if it just was bestowed upon us, you know? You just wake up and you're a ballerina. I mean, that'd be great. For somebody, it'd be great. Not for me. For my girls, that would have been great. But great ballerinas work really, really hard. It would be nice if I just woke up a godly man every morning. I just woke up and it was just in me. That would be nice, but I think what God is saying is, no, you have the capability of that, Rob, so now make every effort to make it happen. And in my lifetime, I have seen this, that as I respond to God, as I feel this tension inside of me, I can be this or I can be this, and as I want to seek God, what I find is just what Paul said in Galatians. I want to do this, but I find myself drugged this way, and when I want to be kind, I find myself being harsh, and when I want to be patient, I find myself being anxious, and when I want to be loving, I find myself being selfish and hate-filled. And so there's this tension, and if I really want to do this, it's not going to just happen. I have to practice. And I think, guys, that character is something, in my opinion, it's something that we have to practice. You have the ability. God's given you his promises. He's given you his power, all of these things, but I have to use him. I have to practice. I've told this story before where when I'm in the car and I still do it, I have to practice not being selfish. I have to practice because I get so angry at every other driver in the just for being there. If you're there and I want to be there, something in me wants to be angry. And I know it's wrong, and it's no fun, and I don't want to drive down the road mad and gnashing my teeth, but I have to practice. No, I'm not going to be angry. I got to work at it. And I wish that I would just get in my car and just be waving and loving the world. But I got to work at it. I got to practice my character. But here's the thing. God has given me the ability to be patient if I work at it. God has given you the ability, but we have to practice a little bit. I think that's what he's saying here. The last thing I see here in this passage is it makes a difference what you choose. I have the ability to be a man or woman of character. I'm pulled this way, but if I work at it, I can be over here, or I cannot work at it, and I'll probably go this way. And it makes a difference what you choose here. In verse 8 of 2 Peter, it says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Has forgotten, he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." What we choose here makes a difference. If I choose to be a man of character, if I choose to let God lead me in that way, and what I do and why I do it is increasingly along those lines of what he said in Galatians, certain things happen. I'm an honor to my Father. I'm becoming more and more and more like Christ, and that's an honor to God. I'm saying, Lord, you're right, and I'm going to become like you because you're right. That's a glory and an honor to God. So as I choose to be a man of character, I'm honoring my Father. I'm blessing those around me. As you choose to be a man or woman of character, the people around you are better for it. As you grow in patience and kindness and love and gentleness, the people around you are put in a position where their lives go better. So you become a blessing increasingly to the people around you, and your life goes better. And that's okay. It is okay for us to desire to do well in this life. You want to do well in this life, accomplish the things God's asked you to do. Someday go stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well, this is the path. This is the path. I become that man or woman of character. I let those things become increasingly true of me." Okay? Now, just a couple more things to know about character development here that I think are important things to understand. Here's the first one. I think that you and I, becoming men or women of character, if it's not a command, it is at least strongly, strongly urged upon us. I say it's commanded here. Perhaps I misspoke, but it's at least very, very strongly urged. Here in Galatians, the passage we read there, he says, "So I say," this is an imperative command, or a strong statement, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Paul is saying to the people that he's writing here, look, you've got these two choices. Don't do that one. Do this one. Do not let yourself be pulled into that sinful nature. Don't let that be what defines your motivations and therefore your actions. Instead, you choose, this is a big deal, says Paul, you choose to be a man or woman of character, to grow in your godliness, grow in your Christ-likeness. He says the same thing. Peter says the same thing in the passage in 2 Peter we read. He says, "For this very reason, make every effort." Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to goodness knowledge and all of those character qualities. If it's not a command, it is at least strongly, strongly in powerful terms. I can only think of one other thing that we're told to make every effort to do, that phrase in the New Testament. That's to live in humble unity with each other. So two times, as far as I know, God said, give this your best shot. To love and to live in unity and to grow in character. Become a man or woman where these things are true about you. Your actions, your words, what you do is more and more and more in line with what God says. Does that make sense? I'll stop short of saying it's a command. But I will say it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And God says to you, work extremely hard at this. Work extremely hard at this. That's the first thing I think, well, one thing we need to know about this core value of character development. But when I say that, it instantly puts us in a position where we might misinterpret some stuff here. So a couple other things that I think are important. One of them is that your character growth is powered by the Holy Spirit. You becoming this man or woman of character, this is one of those tensions in the Bible. How much of it is God's job and how much of it is my job? I've been saying, look, you have to practice. You have to make every effort. You got to work at this. This is a choice that you have to make. And all of that falls on you and I. And I believe that that's true. But there's something else that's true right next to that, and that your effort is powered, given strength, given the ability to really be carried out because of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in Galatians. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. What is fruit? Fruit is something that comes as a result. You know, an apple tree produces apples. Why? Well, because the apple tree is just the apple's DNA. It creates apples. The Holy Spirit in you does what? It produces character. So you practice, you work, but it's powered by the Holy Spirit. The same thing it says in 2 Peter there. You know, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God's divine power. There's something in you through the Holy Spirit that makes you able, makes your work worthwhile. It's kind of like, what would it be like? It's like, a seed, perhaps. Oak trees. I've got oak trees in my yard, and you know they survive the windstorms, and they survive the ice, and they survive the droughts. You know, and that tree, the wind blows, but those roots are deep, and it hangs in there, and the you know the bark gets run into by cars and all kinds of stuff. I got one oak tree right almost in the middle of my driveway, and it gets hit by all kinds of stuff, and it withstands, and the. You know, the drought comes and it doesn't get water, and then the ice comes in and the winter, and this tree is strong and it stands and it produces these acorns, and then the acorns fall into the ground, and the tree has done everything it's supposed to do to produce another tree, and that acorn, it's in the ground, and there it is. But that acorn will never grow unless something completely apart from the tree happens. And that's that the water comes down and waters that seed. The Holy Spirit is like water in your life. If you becoming a man or woman of character is like a seed, you can work at it and you can practice it, but unless the Holy Spirit just kind of flows over it, inside of that acorn is everything that's necessary to make an oak tree. That's incredible. When you think about it, that little acorn can produce this mammoth oak tree if the water comes down. Without the water, it's never going to happen. I have a cup of acorns sitting on my desk at home. Not a single one of them has turned into an oak tree because they're not out where the water can get at it and kind of break it down. The Holy Spirit in your life is like water on your soul. You will not be a man or a woman of character, no matter how much you want it, no matter how hard you try, if you are not in relationship. And that's the thing, I think, here. Powered by the Holy Spirit is really, your growth is a function of relationship. Your relationship with God is what makes you a man or woman of character. It's what takes your effort and multiplies it. Maybe that's the best way to think about it. I like to think about the picture of Jesus. Just read it this morning, where he feeds 5,000 people. You guys familiar with that story where there's, 5,000 folks who need food, and, okay, Jesus says, you feed them. He says to his disciples, you go feed them. And they say, well, okay, we'll give them everything we got, but it's not enough. You know, here's everything we have, and we'll give you everything we have. All the food we have, we'll give it to these folks, but it's not enough. We got, five loaves and some bread. And Jesus said, okay, you give everything you've got, and then I'm going to touch it and make it better than you could have made it. I'm going to magnify it. I'm going to multiply it. I think it's the same way with you and I growing in character. God, I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to work as hard as I can at being a man or a woman of character, but you have to touch this. Your spirit has to multiply this and do something that I can't do. That, guys, is a function of relationship. Increasingly, as I grow older as a Christian, more and more and more, I'm realizing that the greatest thing I can ever do is just to sit and be with God, to listen to him, to have him speak to me through this book, to talk to him throughout the day, to take time to stop and be thankful, to recognize that I'm walking with him every second of my day and increasingly learning how to live in his presence, because that's what relationship is. It's spending time together, communicating over time. Learning how to recognize, God, you're right here. You're speaking to me. I can speak to you. I can hear your voice through the word. I can get direction from you through the word. I can see you in the world around me. I can be thankful. When I'm afraid, I can call out to you, Lord. When I'm angry, I can tell you about it. Am I communicating, living my life increasingly with God? That's what a relationship is. And guys, that's where we grow in our ability to let the Holy Spirit just change us. You will change. Your practice, your work in character will be paid off as it's done hand in hand with God. Does that make any sense? That's where this is so hard. I wish I could tell you if you did this, this, and this, you'll grow in character. Well, here's the one this I can tell you. Go spend time with God. You go spend time with God and it will change you. He's nuclear. He's radioactive. You just get close to him and something starts to change inside you. Radioactivity, you can't see it, you can't feel it, but it gets inside and starts to mess with your cells. Jesus is spiritually nuclear. You get close to him, he gets inside your soul and he starts to change you for the better. You want to be a man or woman of character, you want your life to be different, you go spend time with God. There is nothing better that you can do. The most powerful thing you will ever do in your life is to have a quiet time. I believe that. You may think that's silly. I believe it. That's why I have determined what my life is going to look like is I'm going to spend time with God today, I'm going to spend time with God tomorrow, and I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, I'm going to spend time with God today and tomorrow. Pretty simple mantra. Not real complicated, but amazingly powerful. Amazingly sweet. Amazing in a thousand different ways. Your growth is powered by the Holy Spirit. That's a function of relationship. Last thing, this is not an issue of salvation or of worth. If you never become a man or woman of character, it's not an issue of salvation or worth. Salvation meaning this, who are you? Not what do you look like, who are you? Are you Christ's? Are you God's? That's salvation. And that's in Ephesians 2, there's a very famous verse, many of you know it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works. If you are right with God, not based on your character, but based on your humble willingness to accept Christ's payment for your sins. You can, in fact, all of us come to Christ being men and women with bad character. That's the whole point. Our sinful nature leads us into a place that we don't want to be. None of us are men and women of character where God says, well, I want that one. He doesn't choose us to be on his team because we're so great. He chooses us because we love him and we long to be with him and we say, I have nothing to bring. You, Jesus, pay the penalty for my sins. That's how I get saved. So when we talk about character, we are not talking about salvation. Being a man or woman of character does not get you saved or get you unsaved or anything. That's a separate issue. Who I am is Christ's, and that's because he bought me. He paid the price to set me free, and I let him do it. You are Christ's based on that, not based on your character. Here's the second thing. It's not an issue of salvation, nor is it an issue of worth. And we struggle with this so much. We think, well, if I'm not growing, then maybe God's not as didn't like me as much. Somehow my worth, my acceptance is based on how I do. That is not true. I like this passage in Psalm 104, starting with verse 8, or I'm sorry, 103. Starting with verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God looks at me and says, Rob, you're just a little boy, but you're my little boy. And I'm excited about you. And as you grow, Rob, great. But you know what? You will never stop being my boy. And God loves you. Your worth is because you are his, not because you are a man or woman of character. Don't get these things mixed up. We are not talking about salvation or worth here, okay? I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come up, and we're going to take communion. But let me just pray here. Ask God to help us here as we go forward. Lord, I just thank you that we do have everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, that is such an amazing thing, that we can be like you. We can be men or women of character. It's there. You've given it to us. Help us, Lord, to honor you, to bless the people around us by taking advantage of it. Help us to choose to work hard, to make every effort to add these things to our faith, Lord. Help us to help each other in it, to love each other as we do it, to encourage each other, challenge each other. Whatever we need to do, we are really in this together. Help us to be a church, Lord, where we really do this. Each of us is growing, fits and starts, coming and going. But as we go through life, we're growing in our character. Help that to be true here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.